Man, good morning, church.
Good morning.
If we could all scoot toward the center aisles, that'd be great, just to make room for coming in. Well, welcome to Seattle Chinese Alliance. If you're a first-time guest and visitor, also so glad you came this morning to check things out. We've had a lot going on these past several weeks, and I feel like our service times have been so, you know, we've been going late for a lot of services. I haven't really had time to even just say thank you for all the things that have been going on, all the people volunteering. So I just want to take a quick moment to do that. First, several weeks ago, we put together an awesome children's carnival for Beacon Hill for Halloween, and we had the largest attendance to date. And so I truly want to thank, it was Pastor Ellie who kind of took the lead of that. Also, we had a core staff of Clarissa, Alyssa, Fani, Kathy Wong, and Jeremy Chin. So I want to thank you guys for leading and for everyone else who helped donate candy and stuff for that event. It was an awesome evening. So let's give those guys a big hand. And of course, last week we had the big weekend where we had our 40th anniversary luncheon. Great food, great stories, and then we also had the 40th anniversary worship service at UW, and there's a lot of planning that went on into that. I mean, it started at over a year ago. So I just want to recognize a couple people. Hermia, there's a 40th anniversary committee made up of Hermia, Morgan Wong, and Pastor Shu, and there's a luncheon committee, which was Hermia and Wallace, Betty and Morgan, and Tessie and Glenn. So let's give our appreciation to those guys too. Well, we're in this series called Spotlight, and one of the greatest miracles of the Christian Christian life is this thing called transformation, and theologians will call that sanctification. And simply stated, it's just this, is that Jesus changes lives. He changed the lives of people that he encountered 2,000 years ago, and he's still changing lives today. And so what we're doing in this series is we're highlighting stories, personal stories of transformation in our own community, and how the lives of people, their trajectory of their lives were just shaped, were changed because of these encounters with God. And just in my own personal experience, I've called these encounters with God spotlight moments. And I call them spotlight moments because when I think of these moments, it's kind of like God in this moment will just kind of unearth, just kind of dig up whatever's in your heart, what's in your mind, things that you've kind of buried, maybe things you haven't thought about, maybe things you've been in denial, things like that. And God just kind of exposes those things, what's really there in your heart. We see the truth. And then in that moment, we are supernaturally or radically changed. And our life takes on kind of a different dimension, or maybe even start going a whole new trajectory in your life. So we had a great testimony we heard from Peter Chen 2 weeks ago. So church, would you give a big inviting welcome to Mr. Ephraim Kam as he shares one of his spotlight moments.
I believe the projector would put up Psalm 71. Verses 17 and 18 on the screen. And if you don't mind, could you read with me? Well, I put down a NASB version, but Pastor Roy is much younger than I am, so I have to read with you too, okay? Let's read together. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. When my late mother had to move into a nursing home in her late 70s, due to poor health and lack of a family member who could give her the constant help and care she needed, she was devastated. Like many of her generation and culture, she felt having to stay in a nursing home was a sign of shame because it shows that her family had failed to take care of her. But she had another reason to be afraid of moving into the nursing home. For almost 2 decades, before that time, she ministered regularly to the residents in the nursing home, where she would eventually become one herself. She spent one Sunday afternoon every month there to lead Sunday services for those who could not leave the facility to attend worship service at their home churches. She also visited the sick and the elderly frequently to listen to and to pray with them in between Sundays. She also comforted the family members, relatives, and friends who had their loved ones departed from that place. She knew firsthand what life was like in the nursing home, and she dreaded the loneliness and sadness often expressed by those who stayed there. She also feared that she would be deprived of opportunity to serve the Lord she loved so much. Once she entered the nursing home, her mobility would be restricted. I remember the frustrations and sadness she told me in her letters written soon after she entered the nursing home as a resident. At one point, she even wrote that she prayed to God to take her home because life seemed to have lost its purpose and meaning. Then, one day, I received a letter from her with a totally different tone. She mentioned in the letter that during one of her daily devotions, she was reacquainted with these verses. They opened her eyes to the fact that she still had a mission to accomplish, to declare to her generation and the generations to come the strength and power of the Lord. The realization rejuvenated her. She stopped feeling sorry for herself and rededicated herself to be a witness for the Lord wherever He placed her. In the remaining years of her life, she truly lived up to that commitment. She led a Bible study regularly for several more years in the nursing home until her failing health kept her from continuing with such a demanding task. As she grew weaker with age, hospital stays become more frequent and longer. Even in that environment, she continued to witness to people she met, including those who shared the hospital wards with her. Finally, she was taken to the heavenly home in her sleep at the age of 92. We, her children, were thankful for the example she set for us. These verses in Psalms not only gave my mother back her purpose in life, they provided a spotlight moment for me as well. When at first I saw that my mother was so unhappy about going into the nursing home, and I could neither move back to Hong Kong to take care of her, nor have her move to Seattle to stay with me, I was very distressed myself. Beyond this filial emotion, the situation raised a fear inside me that one day I might react to my own end with bitterness and disappointment, the same way my mother had done. But when I learned from her letter that the Lord had comforted her with these verses, like a beam of blinding light, the experience chased away the gloomy darkness I had been surrounded by. I decided right there and then that the same should be the purpose of my life as well. My focus would not be seeking to keep myself happy, but to make myself useful. My prayer at that time was that for the rest of my own life, I would not refrain from declaring the goodness and greatness of our Lord to those around me. Now, looking back, I can point to this incident as one of the factors that shaped me to become the person I am today. I'm less concerned about what achievements I have than what kind of testimonies I will leave behind. These verses also help me set clear priorities. It has become much easier for me to give up the things that have nothing to do with helping others to know God. I would gladly spend time and energy on things of eternal value rather than on things for temporal enjoyment only. These verses also relieve me of the burden of trying to prove to the world my own worth. I crave not for the world's admiration and praise. My Lord's approval is enough for me. However, a life purpose of service never shields us from the need to make difficult decisions, nor guarantees us smooth sailing in everything we do. Since the time I realigned my life according to what I have learned from these verses in Psalms, I have seen my share of oppositions, failures, and disappointments. But the same verses always bring me back to a sense of renewed determination, because I know the moment I give up on serving, my life would lose its meaning for me. In about a month's time, my wife and I will leave our home in Seattle for the last 18 years and start a new journey in a country that is 6,000 miles away. It has not been easy for us to decide on taking this move, because it means, for one thing, we'll be far from our immediate family and friends here in the United States. Another challenge is that we will face many difficulties associated with starting a new life in a new place, where our conversational ability will be reduced to the level of a primary school student. Yet, after much prayer and some struggles, we come to believe this is what God wants us to do in the next few years. It all started in the summer of 2005, when my wife and I participated in one of the short-term mission teams that went out from our church. The experience of that trip reminded us how blessed we were here in America, where access to Christian teachings and opportunities to serve were virtually unhindered. But the same could not be said about many other places in this world. Our hearts were deeply moved by the scarcity of Christian witness in the countries we visited. Another factor which influenced our decision was the realization that we have been absent from our families back home far too long. Even though we pray for their salvation often, we were not sincere in our witness as long as we neglected to spend time with them while we still had the opportunity. So, in the fall of 2005, my wife and I began to ask for God's will in this matter. The more we prayed, the stronger we felt going to Asia was the path He was leading us into. In the following months, I began to look around in my place of employment for opportunity of transfer to Asia. However, my effort was met with setback after setback. I believe God was using those failures to correct my misguided thinking that I would be doing Him an honor by putting forth myself this way. The truth of the matter is that our Lord is gracious enough to let us take part in his great plan for the universe, even as feeble and arrogant as we often are. To serve is more of an honor and a blessing for us than any help we can actually render to him. Compared to what he has done for us and what he can and will do while we serve, it is not a sacrifice at all. This truth is given in the words of Christ when he told his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." Once again, the light of God's glorious truth penetrated through the foolish conceit I had allowed myself to entertain. I have no choice but to admit, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. This is another spotlight moment for me. Finally, when I was willing to submit to his leading, rather than asking the Lord to rubber stamp my plans, he unexpectedly opened the door in late 2006 for my wife and me to spend 3 months in Asia. So on January 12th of 2007, we got on a plane to begin what we consider to be the trip of a lifetime. We were prepared to do great things for God in a great place. But when I woke up from the intoxication of the excitement, it soon dawned on me that I could dream big, but do little. All the ways of ministry I was used to and imagined I had some capabilities for were useless in that environment. For whatever knowledge I might possess, I did not find any person I could share it with. With the ability to speak only in the simple manner of a child, I had little hope of attracting any serious audience, even at a person-to-person level. 2.5 months into the stay, I began to question why we were there at all. Just as often the case, important truths are seldom learned in an instant. This stupid student in me had to learn again and again the lesson of not I, but Christ. The week after Easter, quite unexpectedly, some of my co-workers let me know that they noticed I was a Christian, even though I had not spoken a word directly about Christ to them. One other person, who so far had been disinterested in discussing spiritual matters, turned around and invited my wife and me to tell her more about our faith. How could we not humbly acknowledge the power of the Almighty God? After our return to Seattle in the summer of 2007, we tried to put our affairs in order so that we could be ready to go again should the marching order be given. But at the back of our minds, we constantly wondered whether we could survive and do anything useful at all in that environment. The order finally came in the spring of this year. This time, we're expected to stay on the other side of the ocean longer. We hope to make more friends there so that the Lord can work his purpose through these 2 weak and timid but willing children of his. We are taking this step not because we think we can do great things, but because we know we serve a great God. How can we hope to have a purpose of life if we refuse to let him use us? A very good friend, a dear brother, even in a congregation today. And a mentor, in the very true sense of that word, of my second professional career, pointed me to the story I'm about to tell you. There was a group of business people, managers in a corporation, spending a whole day in a seminar learning from a time management expert. They went through some very vigorous training and listened to this expert on tips to maximize their efficiency, how to work more into their schedule, and how to be better managers in terms of managing their times. At the end of the day, before they closed the seminar, the speaker took out a picture and then put some objects into it. She looked around the room, holding up the picture and said, "Is it full?" Well, it's been a very tiring day. Nobody cared to answer, but after a few moments of silence, someone said, "Yeah, it is." So she reached out for another bag, shake the picture a few times, and start pouring more things into here. You get a picture. I don't want to have the Chinese congregation come in here with beans all over the place. She held it up and said, "Is it full?" "Yeah, of course, it's full now." She put it on, shake it a few more times. "More room here." And then she picked up some more stuff and poured it in. "Is it full?" Well, finally, she reached in for a bottle of water. And she poured it in, but I would not do that. "Is it full?" "Yeah, they all know that it's full." Then she looked at the audience and she asked, "What is the lesson here?" There's a voice from the back of the room said, "If you shake hard enough, you can create more room." Wow, they've been spending a day on learning how to manage their time, right? And the speaker said, "No. Because sooner or later, your pitcher will be full, no matter how hard you shake it. The lesson is, put the bigger object into it first. If it is full already, you can't put anything more into it. If this is your life, and you filled it up with small and inconsequential things, you will miss the opportunity to put the big and beautiful things into your life. What is the big objects in your life? What are the big pieces of your life Are they worthy of the calling of the Lord? Or are they just sand and pebbles, things that are of no eternal value? To me, my big object is to obey my Lord's calling. I'm at the point where I honestly believe I'm closer to the end of life than to the beginning. These verses in Psalms continue to challenge me to make the privileged years I've been given count for something. Lord, you have called every one who have been redeemed to be your witness. I'm here to follow that call. Please help me not to squander the precious time you have given me. Amen.
Together with me. Now let's read these last, let's read two verses together. Alright, church, let's read these verses. Let's go. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. O God, I pray the strength of this generation, your power to follow, my Lord Jesus, thank you so much for spotlight moments. Thank you, Father, for the moment right now, Lord. Just believe that you're working, Lord, in someone's heart right now, speaking to them through this service and in this moment. And God, I pray that you have your way in that heart. Just change them forever. Just alter the trajectory of their lives. And Lord, I just pray right now for the spiritual struggle that's going on in this room right now as well. Because there's a lot of people I know who are saying, God, I'll serve you after I retire, or I'll tithe after I make 100K, or I'll live for you, but just a little bit later, not right now. And God, I pray that you would orchestrate a spotlight moment in their lives, that they would know how good you are, and that every day, every year, given in sacrifice to you, is not a life that was wasted, but it was a life that was fulfilled. We ask all these things.